from Colossians. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So, when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge, and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." This is the gospel of the Lord. Dear sisters and brothers, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're in this series on making peace in conflict, and Jesus says, "You shall not murder." Now, somebody's thinking, well, you know, that would certainly end a lot of my conflicts pretty fast if I could only... Well, I think we can all accept, as sort of a baseline, that taking someone else's life is off the table. Can we agree on that this morning? Okay, all right. Or as I like to say, the commandment is not, "You shall not commit murder," unless they really deserve it. No. But now Jesus does take it a little bit deeper here. It's not just "don't murder," which we can all sort of pat ourselves on the back and say, "Well, I haven't done that. Okay, great." No, it's not just "don't murder." It's "don't insult or curse someone. Don't even be angry with someone else." Now, this is tough, but I think we can all get it. I mean, Jesus wants us to be compassionate and patient and understanding, and it's harder than "don't go around killing people," but it makes sense. I mean, there'd be a lot less conflict in this world and a lot less need to make peace if we could avoid getting angry and insulting each other, right? Okay. But here's the thing. All of this teaching is what I'm going to call defensive teaching. What I mean by that is Jesus is talking in this about restraining evil and preventing harm. Now, those are good things, and we need that to happen. I mean, we might not like to admit it, but we need a check not just on our actions, but also on our thoughts and our attitudes. And Jesus makes this challenge harder. I mean, Lord, I could handle it when you said don't commit murder, but now I can't call that idiot a fool? Ugh. But we're good religious people, right? We know we need rules. We need something to hold back our less than perfect natures. Except that's not all we need. Rules, even good rules. Religious people, even good religious people, it's not enough. Because what Jesus does next here is way beyond any protective, defensive, keep the rules way of doing business. So when you are offering your gift at the altar and you remember that a brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there and first go and be reconciled. Jesus just told us to get out of church. He told us to let the worship service grind to a halt right before the holy moment of making an offering. Now remember, in Jesus' day, the offering, the gift at the altar, wasn't money in the plate. It was the sacrifices made to God as a part of the covenant. This is a big deal. Jesus is saying, put that on hold and go. Now, he's not kicking us out of church if we're not good enough. But what we really have to understand here is that there is something, according to Jesus at least, something more important, more urgent in our relationship with God than worship. More important than our worship is our relationships with other people. Even more important than getting the service right is getting our relationships right. So Jesus says, look, if you're in some kind of a fight with someone, especially if you're the one who's in the wrong, if you've given someone else the reason to be offended, go and mend it. Go and be reconciled. Now, I don't think that this can be stated strongly enough. Following Jesus, living in the kingdom of God, means having transformed relationships. Being a Christian is not just having rules to stop hurt feelings or to keep conflicts from happening. Discipleship means taking graceful action when things do go wrong. And whenever there's human beings involved, things will go wrong. And so seeking and offering forgiveness is at the very heart, the very center of the Christian life. And Jesus wants us to be the ones taking the initiative. Go, he says. You're in the middle of church? Go. God will still be here when you get back. Don't worry. He's not going anywhere. Don't wait. Don't stall. Go, be reconciled. That's how important it is. Now, while all the dynamics of forgiveness and reconciliation, that's way more than we could cover in five, never mind one, Sunday sermons, here's a quick sketch for you about what forgiveness looks like. Offering forgiveness is not pretending that nothing happened. It's not just saying, oh, it's okay. Offering forgiveness is a decision. A decision to say, I will not hold this against you anymore. I won't use the fact that it happened against you. And I will not let what happened be a barrier for us rebuilding the relationship. Forgiveness means that whatever happened, you're not going to hold it against the other person, and you are going to clear the rubble away so that trust and love can be built up again. It doesn't say, oh, everything's back to the way it was. It's saying, I'm going to let us build back to where it was. You're not saying nothing went wrong. You're saying that you are willing to absorb the hurt without giving it back for the sake of the relationship. Now, on the flip side, seeking forgiveness, that doesn't mean you're trying to weasel out of anything here. If you're going to ask for forgiveness, that means expressing real, genuine regret and sorrow over a harm that you've caused. It means taking responsibility for it, owning it. Yes, I did something, I hurt you. And then committing to doing what it'll take to make amends and rebuild the relationship. How can I make things right? How can I rebuild things? Now, I hope that doesn't sound like anybody's getting off scot-free here. Reconciliation is hard. It's a struggle. We want to hold things against other people. We don't want to clear out that rubble. We want to keep some of that rubble there to keep that person at a distance. But Jesus is saying, look, that distance might be there. And we're not going to pretend it isn't. But whatever's in the way on your side of it, you need to clear out the barriers. Not so that everything is magically okay again, but so that you can begin the work of making things better again. Now that's hard. But the truth is, that struggle is the only thing that can defeat evil. And I use that word intentionally, to defeat evil. See, we can restrain evil, we can punish evil, we can teach against evil, all without giving or seeking forgiveness. We can do that. But if we really want to make a difference, if we really want to fight evil, if we really want to roll back the power of sin, if we want to be a part of healing and restoring our world, then rules aren't enough. The right attitude isn't enough. We need forgiveness. Mercy is the only thing that can overcome sin. And so if we are going to follow Jesus, we have to be seekers and givers of mercy. And see, that's why the Apostle Paul frames all that talk about love and forgiveness in that reading from Colossians, he frames it the way he does, as God's chosen people, holy and beloved. See, what he's saying there is, because God loves you, because God chooses you, because the mercy of Jesus has already made you holy, whether you feel it or not, therefore, put compassion and reconciliation into practice. Because you have been made in baptism by faith into people of grace, line up what you do with the truth of who you are. See, that's why all these weeks ago we started this whole series with a sermon on our identity as Christians. You have been given more mercy in Christ than you will ever know. And you will keep on receiving more mercy from Christ than you can ever imagine. And so, if you ever feel too guilty or too ashamed to ever ask for forgiveness, you need to know. Jesus already knows all your faults, and he still believes that you are infinitely worth loving. And when you're on the flip side of that, when offering forgiveness is just too hard, it's too painful. And we've been there. We've been in that spot where we know we should forgive and we can't. Remember that Jesus bears that pain along with you. And sometimes all we can do is say, Lord, I know I'm supposed to forgive. Lord, I know you want me to forgive, and Lord, my heart is not there right now. So if I'm going to forgive, Lord, you have to do something with my heart to get it there. See, we can't do this reconciliation thing on our own. Jesus does say these kind of restored, loving relationships are essential to being his followers. But he also knows we can't handle that burden on our own. But Jesus makes it possible. See, the truth is, the good news is, his death on the cross put an end to the power of sin and hurt and payback to run our lives into the ground. On that cross, Jesus absorbs it all, and he takes it with him to the grave, and he leaves it buried there. And his resurrection then creates a new way for us to live. Jesus opens the door to the infinite love of God to flood us. In Jesus, all the wounds that we can't forgive can find their healing. All the shame that we can't admit is washed clean. Everything that separates us from each other can be broken down. And that's why Jesus makes it so urgent. Leave your gift. Go. Be reconciled. Not because you have to, but because you get to. Because reconciliation is that good. Because that's how we really worship. And that's how we really live. So, as people who are washed clean by the love of Jesus, as people who are fully forgiven, more than you could ever know, go and be reconciled. And may the healing of the world happen through and among us.